broker-dealer depository service. Sometimes we are probably very similar to the insane asylum as well. It gets pretty crazy here. I worked a couple days pretty much straight without much sleep and got some sleep last night, but I'll tell you, it gets crazy. Times are a-changing, folks. It's the thing that's really been kind of going through my mind is, you know, what is the significance of the times in God's eyes? I mean, and what I mean by that is, why is a certain time in America so prosperous and another time so bizarre? 2020 is a weird date. I mean, it's just, you know, we use it for 2020 vision. It means you're seeing clear. It means you're seeing perfect. We say hindsight's 2020, which means, you know, we can look back with perfect clarity. So if we get a little bit numerically symbolic, and, you know, every jot and tittle of the scripture gets covered, and Christ says a sparrow can't fall from the sky without God knowing, and, you know, you can't lose a hair out of your head without him knowing, everything's significant. And numbers do matter. There's some incredible stuff. There was a book called The Signature of God, I think back in the 90s, and they, when computers started to get really powerful, they started to run some really interesting algorithms and tests, matrices tests and things like that, and just random selection stuff on the Bible and then eventually other books. And so what they would do is Hebrews written in 26 by 26 foot grid, foot, word, letter. How about we do that again? They're Hebrews written in 26 letter by 26 letter grids, which is, you know, we have 26 letters in our alphabet. That's where that comes from. And I don't, you know, the numerology, that's another discussion. But they start to run computer programs like every fourth word, every fifth word, every sixth word, every seventh word. And then you get like, you know, when things get really a lot more interesting is when you start to use logic patterns, you know, like you start with word one and then you add one to itself and you get to two, then you add two to your first number one and you go to three, and then you go, you know, and now you're adding three to two is five, and then you're adding five to three is eight. That's kind of an exponential logic pattern. Those kinds of things started producing stuff. So anyway, when they were doing this on the Bible, you know, and backwards and sideways and trust me, every direction, is pretty interesting. This is where they started getting all these crazy prophecies. They start getting things about the exact birth and death dates for Saddam Hussein. Yes, Saddam Hussein. And they, and it's all in there. And they're finding all these wild things and people's names and instances of, and of course they got, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're the world of Snopes. Refutes everything. They say, ah, oh, it's not real. It's just good. So then they ran it on the, and it was very, you know, the patterns were very strong. It produced legitimate results. And I understand from having a strong math background that, you know, randomness just doesn't do that. And so because people were really complaining with it, they got books like A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, you know, a famous novel that's very, very thick, and they ran all kinds of the same programs and algorithms and put them into different matrices. They did this on the Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. They got nothing but gibberish, and the scriptures, when they do it, would put out just amazing information. It was phenomenal, and the thing, I think, you know, and then there's the people that argue, you know, we live in 3.5 dimensions. We can only see and experience what God's chosen to let us see and experience at this time, which is why sometimes we can have visions and, you know, and different insights, and God can maybe pull back the veil, show us another dimension. I don't know how much he's really shown us into the other dimensions where, you know, where the demonic realm is or any of that. Maybe some people have seen it. Maybe we see it in our own, you know, our own ways or whatever. you know, I'm not completely sure about that. But what they've seen when you run a multi-dimensional mathematical algorithms on the Bible, where they, you know, they can actually put the Bible in, you know, 3D space and then run stuff through it, program math, I'm trying to keep it simple, they get even more incredible insights. And so what the argument of some is some believe that the Bible itself is the book of life. And once the Bible is presented in a certain environment or certain changes or beings are around it or whatever, your name's already been written in the book of life, hopefully, and hopefully mine has too. But that all that stuff that is referred to as the book of life could very well be the Bible, just a different application. You know, we're very, very limited and bound. We get very impressed with who we are as humans. And folks, we are such specs. I mean, of course, when you look at yourself and you're 6 feet tall or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm good size. I'm above average. But then just back up the sky cam. And all of a sudden start to compare yourself to, you know, wildlife, trees, water. Everything will kill you in a second. God just has to look away a minute, you know, or however it works. But then you back up and you start to look at your significance relevant to a home or, like I said, trees, then hills, mountains, cities, states. Keep backing up, you know. Heading up towards, you know, orbit, all of a sudden you can't be seen even in masses of millions of us. There can be millions of us in a congregation somewhere. You can't see that from even when you're in orbit. And then back that up, you know, and start to figure out the mass of the Earth. The diameter of the Earth alone is like 8,400 miles. Just from one side to the other, straight through 8,400 miles. The circumference of the Earth is 25,300 miles, roughly. Now, I could be off on that. I know it's about 25,000. But you think about that, that's kind of big when you're 6 feet tall. And my point was this, is we get, you know, people will poo-poo things and blow things down that make good sense there. They don't care. I mean, they absolutely just get so pragmatic, and we think we're so arrogant, or we become so arrogant, we think we're so special, you know, and we've got people locked up in prisons and hospitals, and there's people all over this world that are really not serving justice or are put into horrible situations, sex trade, slavery stuff, kids stuff, you know, there's things that are just terrible. They're just terrible, 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 heinous. And then we have a justice system that won't, you know, appropriately deal with it. And what I'm saying is we spend our time on this earth, we're but a blip. We're literally but a vapor here and gone. And we, when we get self-righteous and self-pious and, you know, it's a response that we get when we struggle with ourselves. I had one guy I was working with for quite a while. He was just super, super slow. I don't know if that, you know, there was something going on, and just very grumpy and very just super short and rude to people and everything. And he was a big guy, and he came across just like a big ox, you know, like a great big WWF wrestler. But when you really got to know him, He was a child inside of there, and it was a simple, simple-minded child, and all that exterior is all walls that had been put up to protect from anyone seeing the real person that was inside. And it's what we do. We have, when we get super dissatisfied with attributes of ourselves, we are criticizing God. You know, God says in the Bible, when you basically criticize one of his creation, you're criticizing God. He made us that way. He made the world a salad. You know, this whole concept of if everybody was the same, how great it would be, kind of garbage. Do you know what you even say? Think about it. When people have that tendency, even as Christians, you know, oh, you know, they're not a Christian, they are a Christian, and then we're in two camps. And then you break the camp up into all your little special doctrinal beliefs, and denominations are insane. Denominations serve a purpose because we are different. It's fine, but what the problem is they're not football teams to compete with the other ones. They're ways of worshiping and reaching out to God. But when we, you know, criticize ourselves, we're criticizing God when we see things. And I'm not saying, some of us have some tough battles. You know, my wife was given juvenile onset rheumatoid arthritis when she was 13. She's 54 now, and it's just absolutely devastated, you know, her over the years. It's been tough, and we've gone through multiple long periods of serious, inability to move or walk or anything. And that can become pretty frustrating as a person going, God, why? You know, it's hard at times. I can see we all go through that. We look at ourselves and we're like, why me? Why this? Now, I'm not a big fan of the why me thing. There are things like if you have an incident happen to you, I mean, the Bible's crystal clear. Count it all joy. Yeah, right, when your car gets wrecked, you know. God says to do it because he's working on it, you know. Count it all joy when you go through all these trials and tribulations. And God disciplines those he loves. Discipline means to, you know, in the Hebrew or the Greek, last I checked, that to discipline means to build up and prepare for battle or to perfect skills and abilities. That's what it says God does to those that he loves. So we have to figure out what he gave us. That's the parable of talents. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, the wrong guy. You wish you were your neighbor down the street, or even worse, if your wife wishes you were the guy down the street. You know, that's when you know, that's great. But anyway, we have to figure out who we are. We have to take care of ourselves. We can't give in and give up. I mean, it's a struggle. We all live life. These times right now, I'll get somewhere here pretty quick. These times right now, these COVID times, I was talking to a doctor gal today, and I just said, isn't it a shame what's happening? She said, yeah. She goes, it's just wearing everybody out. Everybody's getting tired. Everyone's getting angry, frustrated, overwhelmed. They don't feel free. They feel cooped up, pushed down. It's terrible. This is what the liberal Democrats want. I mean, I do believe they believe in what they do. I believe that they're blinded with anger and hate. And I think if you've, number one, if you've ever read the Bible much, you're fine. Those aren't attributes we're looking for. And they're not attributes that are being manifested by the right spirit. But they're being driven by anger and hatred. And they have got so many things in play now, folks. They're dirty, dirty, dirty. They've got so many things in play coming up with the election. They have the election set up. They're getting it set up so they can't lose. And if they do, they're going to manhandle the whole thing. And, like, they're mad at Hillary for, bowing out last time, for resigning or whatever you call it, for seceding. I don't know what the term is when you lose an election. But the thing is they're mad at her. She's mad at herself. I heard her say that. I mean, can you imagine, folks? And then they're accusing Trump of, you know, if he loses, he won't leave the White House. It's like, you guys are crazy, man. This guy never in any time in his life manifested any of these tyrannical traits that people want. In fact, if anything, it's the opposite. Trump's his own man. Trump doesn't have right-hand man. He doesn't have partners. He's Trump folks, he doesn't want the headache of being a, you know, tyrannical dictator over America who's been elected out of office. I mean, come on, folks. And, you know, you listen to that Joy Behar, lack of joy, I think it was. He's sitting there saying, on election day, I can hardly wait. We're going to be watching the White House. It's going to be stormed. This is how liberals think. Now, just in case you don't remember, if an incumbent president loses an election, you know, he's out at inauguration in January, right? The election's in November, beginning of November. So this really brilliant Joy Behar from The View is like, yeah, on election day, I know what's going to happen is they're going to be at the White House with guns, escorting Trump and his family out, and everyone's going to be cheering. And I mean, it's just like, this is insanity. If that's not hatred, who wishes this stuff on their enemies? I mean, you know, we've talked about on the show, at least I have, I guess, but, you know, what the Bible says love is. I mean, for goodness sakes, folks, love is not like that. Love believes all things, hopes all things. You want what's best. People need to believe. And trust me, there's times it's really difficult. They need to believe that, you know, that praying for America and being committed to this country is fruitful. We can't be throwing in the towel. We've got to believe that our system works. We've got to put our faith back in the Constitution. We've got to put our faith back into this nation for what it is. You know, that same goes for what I was saying about us with God. I mean, God, you know, we got to believe the best in others. We've got to want good. The Bible talks about praying for your enemy. And like I said, it's tough. But, you know, what happens? If you have an enemy that hates you, right or wrong, and hopefully you're never that the propagator of this stuff. You can't carry that kind of hatred around. You can't do it. It'll destroy you. And God says in his word, if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Oh, but you don't understand what they did. You've heard people talk about this, and they always say that, don't they? They're like, oh, but you don't know how bad I had it, and you don't know what my mom did or my dad did. And you know what? It's 9 times out of 10, it's something that people have hung their identity on so bad that to give that up means to fully reevaluate themselves again and have to redesign their narrative. A lot of people's narrative is built solely around these terrible, horrible, damaging things. This stuff became really popular in my generation. You know, you go to a psychiatrist or whatever, psychologist, and it's all your parents' fault. Well, that was the beginning of wisdom and the maximization of foolishness. What they're getting at, I assume, giving them the benefit of the doubt, is that we are molded by our environment. We get our genetics from our parents, so it's nature and nurture together. And, you know, so we're going to have that impact. They're going to have that impact on us. That's fine. We get it. But that makes us who we are. Then we got to deal with what we got to deal with. We're going to die someday, and it says everyone's going to have to give account of themselves to God, judgment. And it's not like you're going to be sitting there back talking God. I had a dream years back. We were in a small group, and we were discussing something to do with heaven, and there was a fairly good sized small group, and there was a variety of people in there, and there was some people that were very well to do and just very worked for major corporations before they retired way too young, and they just everything had to be perfectly realistic. I mean, everything had to be predictable. No risks could be taken. They wouldn't watch like movies like Passion of the Christ because they were afraid they'd be offended by the violence, even though Jesus endured it. And it was, you know, they had all these kinds of traits that they wanted everything to just be perfect, 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 perfect. You know, and then on the other end of the spectrum, we'd have people that were, you know, talking all this and that all the time. But anyway, so the heaven thing. We were having a talk one night on heaven and hell, and the perfect couple, the perfect rich couple, which, you know, they were really caught up. The guy was super rich, and, you know, he'd get involved in stuff, but he'd never give money. I've seen that a lot with some very wealthy people. They'll get involved in charities and fundraisers, and where we get involved too, but these wealthy guys, they won't give their money. They'll say, I'm giving my time. Well, they're giving their time, you know, maybe calling a few people and then emceeing the event, whatever it is, you know, being the master of ceremonies over it. But, you know, I don't think if God blesses you financially and you're helping an organization, you know, that's their business. But that was what was going on in that one situation. And then, you know, so then we were discussing heaven one night and hell, and there was people on, you know, everything from, I don't want it to exist, the Bible's wrong. I mean, literally, this is in a small group at a church, too, all the way down to people that, you know, see it as hellfire and brimstone, and no one's getting in. And then, you know, we prayed about it, and I thought about it, and that night I got woken up, like I'd had happen a couple times, if you want to call it woken up. I've had a few weird visions where God's answered questions, and it's always the same kind of colors. It's like LED-ish light and stuff in the room, but kind of a bluish, weird, whitey haze. But anyway, so I get woken up. Well, no, I didn't. Whatever it was. All of a sudden, I'm going, you know, people say when they die, they go through this hole, and I didn't really believe it. So all of a sudden, I'm going through this big, long, it's almost like being on an escalator without an escalator, with this, like, tubular thing with light at the end. See, I go through this whole thing. I get to the end, and I'm standing there. And, you know, there's different stuff around you can't really see. You're kind of out in the middle of the universe or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, these white screens, it's like white, they're not screens, just all around me. Every event, every single thing I'd ever done my whole life. But the bad stood out. You know, it just stands out. And it's going super fast somehow, or even more than that, just where you can comprehend it all. That is the devil presenting his case. And the other interesting thing is, when I was seeing everything I'd ever done wrong and right, but, you know, the wrong stands out, you can't remember, number one, why you did it. Who was there that contributed to you doing it? There's not enough time to argue any of it. You die, God shows it, it just comes flashing through, and then you're accountable. You cannot stand up to God for your unholiness and unrighteousness. It's way too overwhelming. You need Christ. Jesus Christ is the filter. You basically pray it, receive him, turn to him, repent, and then you don't have to go through that judgment thing. But the way I saw it is there's no, you know, you're like, oh, but they did this, and oh, but they did that. In this vision that I had, there was no, none of that. It was all gone. It was all you. God deals with each man individually, and so we're each accountable. So no matter what someone does around us, we don't have to react. We don't have to react at all. That's a decision. It's a choice. And you never say someone made you act or feel the same way. Don't I sound like a elementary teacher or something teaching the kids? There's a couple different things here. You know, with the metals alive and well as they've been, putting it quite lightly, they're running very solid. Gold is, you know, $2,050 an ounce. Silver is 28 and a half now. Yesterday it hit $29. You know, that's up substantially, and it's got a long ways to go. People are pouring in. It's been a zoo. And so if you come in, thank you for your patience very much. I've got two new people I've gone through. I've had a lot of great employees over the years and people, you know, and I've got one guy who's, my main right man, my right hand operational guy in court. I've mentioned it before. He passed. I have to mention it just because not everybody listens to every show or whatever. And then before that, I had Mike had some serious faux pas going on and et cetera that he resigned, but, you know, there it was not good. And then, you know, before that, I had another guy who's been with me off and on since 10, serious prostate cancer. Pulled him away. I got another guy who's been with me over 20 years who's getting up there in the years, and he's gone from full-time a while, part-time, you know, he's a retired principal, and, you know, part-time and then on down. Now he's like once every week, and then he misses a week, and then, you know, so we've just had this weird staff changes. I've seen the writing on the wall. I should have dealt with it sooner, but I didn't. It's very difficult. I've had a lot of theft and everything. So what I'm getting at is we're doing our best for you. It's not easy, but it's good, but it's just difficult with brand new people. I have great people helping. My daughter is here now for a while, and she's just amazing, class act. Her name's Erica. And then, and by the way, there's a certain listener out there that she knows who she is, and she's sent some nice cards, and we've done some deals over the years, and I just wanted to thank her. Her initials are MD. She knows who it is. So, but anyway, if you guys can be patient with us, I've been saying that for a while. It's kind of like our business. What's weird about our business is most of the time you see these little coin shops, and we're not even, there's nothing even remotely close. We're substantial. We're Nordstrom's. We care about service. We've got the most beautiful facility in the U.S., at least for our industry, and built from the ground up, etc. We're too big to be little and too little to be big. The way I built my building was to, you know, was based on a lot of trust, giving people access to things they shouldn't have learned. But, you know, we built this to be a sizable coin business, but I never knew what I'd really need. So if we had, you know, the right location and time and all that, you know, there's a chance I'd spread it out and have more staff doing different things or whatever. But as long as you can keep them away, keep their hands out of the cookie jar, unless you want it in the cookie jar. You didn't know you're buying cookies here, did you? You are. So I've got all this stuff here. I'm watching this. What was this one on? I won't even get into that. This is, I've got the executive order of 1933. People ask a lot about metals and confiscation. The confiscation, there was an executive order in 1933. It said, on or before May 1, 1933, all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them. Oh, all persons are required to deliver. On or before May 1st, 1933, all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them to a Federal Reserve Bank branch or agency or to any member firm or member bank of the Federal Reserve System. As you read on, it exempted legal tender face value. And so that's where we got a lot of our pre-33 gold. Well, there was also a lot of it that came back from Europe, but that's where we got a lot of our pre-33 gold is that was held out, you know, during this time. People worry about that. We're not on a gold. We're no longer on a gold standard. If a quote-unquote confiscation ever took place, we're in so deep. You know, I've said that in the past, and I used to think, man, we're not. That's just ridiculous. And now when I see what's going on, what they're doing to our country over lies and the hatred and vitriol of the left, man, I have no problem believing these guys. If they had their way, they would hijack our whole government right now and do a violent coup and think they're in the right. I really think that's what I'm seeing. They're so adamantly against anything conservative or biblical. It's crazy. One thing I've been kind of looking at a lot is the, shall we call it, the American dream. I mean, you think about it, where, you know, there's so many things I've got written down here. It's, America provides the American dream, right? And that means anyone can do anything at any time they put their mind to it. That's the whole point of the Declaration of Independence, and then the Constitution protects those rights. And now they're taking that away in so many ways. You know how many people are losing businesses? A beautiful piece of property just sold on Lake Coeur d'Alene yesterday in like 4 hours. I was looking at it on my phone. A friend of mine sent it to me, and I didn't have time. It was a great deal. But it was a business, a family who owns property, and coronavirus kicked their butts. I mean, that's really what happened. You know what? It's just tearing this country in half. It's shredding it. It's shoving it through the blender. We've got unemployment has surged to levels that we've never seen before in this country. But, you know, not one politician have lost their jobs due to any lockdowns. There were over 40 million job losses by the end of May due to government mandates. That means the government forced people out of there. 40 million. That's like 15% of America. And, you know, you can take off elderly and youth and everything, and it ends up being like 30%. That was deliberately structured second phase plot. We'll see that number, we'll see that number of unemployment continue to increase like crazy. And I think not only will many more lose their jobs because this is what the left wants, but you're going to get millions of those jobs are going to be permanently gone. How is it that those that created and implemented this fake pandemic from banking and corporate heads, the tax-exempt foundations, the health organizations, pharmaceutical companies, the politicians that serve them have been unaffected by this insanity? I mean, think about it. These people that are orchestrating the whole thing, they're not paying any price. Why is it that the top tier of the elites, that the, you know, it's the liberals claim to hate these people, but then they chum around with them? And by the way, when they're always talking about, you know, the rich need to pay their fair share, and Warren Buffett comes out and says it's not fair that his secretary pays a higher tax rate than he does. But what you don't know, and I've mentioned, she does pay a higher tax rate because she's getting income. Warren Buffett's money comes by capital gains. And so when you hear these liberals screaming all this stuff, it's not like it's going to hit them harder. Corporations that earn income are the ones that Trump gave a huge break to. Folks, you know, Trump proved trickle-down economics. Trickle-down economics means if the people at the top have money, it works its way down. Reagan said that very proudly and was mocked, and you get the left. It has to do with the opposite. You know, folks, I'll tell you something. The left is contrarian. They're combative. You know what? They don't know what they stand for, but they know what they think they know what they stand against. And that's their position on everything. So Reagan proposes the concept of trickle-down economics, and they say, no, it's trickle-up. Well, you know, learn a little bit about water and gravity. That doesn't make sense anyway. But Trump proved it clear. He opened up the tax bases of these big C corps. Should have done it for more people. And off we go. Economically, they have tons of money to hire. Life is good. You know what's really crazy, though? The price of goods in that scenario should go down, not their profit go up, right? If Apple triples their profits because of Trump's tax cuts, should that be more money in their pocket or a cheaper product to us? But when you got a monopoly, you don't have to do that. Isn't that interesting? It's the way capitalism's supposed to work, is that it filters down to the people, trickle down. Even our founders knew that. And so all this stuff where the left wants all this free money to the bottom, free money to the bottom. Folks, you need to understand, you look at it from an individual perspective and you're like, yeah, we need that money. But in the big picture, or you don't mean we need, you see individuals that need it. But in the big picture, it's destroying our country. It's redistributing the wealth. It's doing the opposite. I mean, they want, look what they want. Take the lower tier working man, make him lazy. Make him want to get an extra $600 a week just sitting on his duff. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing there. And the goal of the socialists is to completely eliminate the middle class. It wants the rich to get richer. You know, during COVID, high-end real estate is going absolutely berserk all around the U.S. I have friends in it, a friend that's a world-renowned architect, you know, a top 10 firm in the world, and they deal with the uber, you know, famous football players and TV, you know, hosts or whatever you call them, actors and stuff, just big names, big, powerful people they deal with all the time. Those people are moving into bigger properties, putting more money into the design of them. They're just absolutely going crazy. People at the bottom are pinching to get by. People in the middle are heading to the bottom. One in a blue moon in the middle can work his way up through sheer luck and a good product. But in general, that's not what the system's designed for, this fiat currency stuff. So all these guys who created, excuse me, this problem, hang on. All right, I think I can breathe. I had to have a drink of water. So these top-tier elites and all the politicians, they have their jobs, and they're gaining great wealth while the rest of Americans are suffering and dying. Why is that? Supposedly dying, you know what I mean? Well, we are dying. Suicide's up. All kinds of disparagement is up. Now they're saying that kids can't go back to school. You know, abuse on children is way through the roof. Malnutrition. A ton of these families, these parents, they trust the schools or daycares to feed their kids. And they're not doing a good job of it. I mean, kids are suffering. Families don't do well like this. You need to be outside, but comfortable, not worried. You don't need mommy going, Johnny, don't forget your little mask. You know, it's interesting when it comes to kids. We don't lie about the data. We just, that's why we're seeing the truth that children aren't affected by this. The coronavirus, they're like, oh, there's two phases or two stages. No, there's not, because you have 85 times the prevalence that you ever expected. You're getting down to a 1% or 0.1% infected fatality rate. We're below that. You know, it just doesn't exist. We're being had. It's no worse than SARS. In fact, the swine flu was way worse. I read that recently here. So why are these people not bothered by this? Or these elitists that are on top, pulling the strings. This is what's happened to our world. Why are they essential? I heard today essential employees in Florida, and the governor there is awesome. I love the guy. I can't remember his name. He's terrific. He reminds me, he's like David Condon, our mayor, our ex-two-term mayor here. He's just got a way about him that I really like. And he said, you know, those jobs are essential to each and everyone who has them. And they're also essential to a flourishing and robust, this is me, not him, economic system. You know, you've got to have all these positions in order in all these, you know, slots and jobs for society to operate properly, folks. I mean, this is crazy. You shut everything down. I mean, you got, I've seen pictures of, you know, Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, bone dry at night, and they're winning. And, you know, you don't see mass, you know, graves everywhere. This is not a pandemic, and it's not because we're doing such a great job. Masks don't work. They make you sick. How far are you going to let them take you? I am a anti-mask shamer, but it's just so much work to go anywhere. People are so ignorant. You're not going to educate a whole grocery store, you know, at all. So why, anyway, why are the politicians essential and why are they living in the lap of luxury and then while the rest of us are going down the toilet? So the politics of obedience, discourse of voluntary servitude is a tenet de la beauté. It's some French thing about what we're seeing. Psychology. It says the masses are certainly being held in check, and in fact, the state's getting more aggressive in its efforts to enforce all the draconian restrictions necessary, so that it can continue to gain power. While multiple global agendas are being advanced, there is but one main goal, and that's to achieve total and complete control over humanity. That is the ultimate agenda sought, and it gets closer to fruition every single day right now. So what's imperative to understand is that there's no real evidence to support that any deaths have occurred from any coronavirus. How about that? I mean, I have it right in front of me. No one has died from coronavirus. Dr. Stoyan Alexov, president of the Bulgarian Pathology Association. Let's see how long this is. It's crazy, folks. It's here we go. We'll go this way. A high-profile European pathologist is reporting that he and his colleagues across Europe have not found any evidence of any deaths from the novel coronavirus on that continent. Now, I've been wondering about this. I don't have the guts to say it, but I'm like, where are these people? Where are they? Does anyone know any of them? And, you know, and everyone I've talked to said, oh, the hospital lied. And, boy, we're dumb. The left knows we're dumb. We do whatever they say, right? So it says, okay, Dr. Stoyan, Stoyan Alexov, Alexov, called the World Health Organization a criminal medical organization for creating worldwide panic and chaos without providing any objective, verifiable proof of a pandemic. Another stunning revelation from Bulgarian Pathology Association President Dr. Alexov is that he believes it's currently impossible to create a vaccine against the virus. Well, gee, what kind of vaccine are they going to produce then? Huh? What are they up to, folks? What are they up to? You know what? I'm not like a major metals peddler. Get your butt in here and get precious metals, folks. I'm telling you, it is the last hard asset. It's the real deal, clear to the end. This is all about the mark of the beast, boys and girls. This is where we're going. And, you know, for the mark of the beast to work, you got to have liberals in control. They're going to beat Trump out one way or the other. I guarantee you, if he got assassinated, they wouldn't even shed a tear or feel a bit of anything. Okay? So he believes it's impossible to create a vaccine. He also revealed that, and by the way, this guy is like the head of Bulgarian pathology. Okay, he's like the head of their pathology. So he's no fool. So he also revealed that European pathologists have not identified any antibodies that are specific for SARS-CoV-2. Okay, what does that mean? That means that these antibodies they're picking up on these tests, coronavirus is all over the place and it's been around forever. We've all had it, a bunch of us have, and we're going to show the antibody virus if it's been fairly recent. And that's, you know, it has nothing to do. People call it COVID-19. I refuse. It's coronavirus. So they can't even, there's no unique antibodies. They're just the coronavirus that's floating around out there. This is crazy. So, I mean, he's made these crazy statements, which obviously raise major questions, including about officials and scientists' claim regarding the many vaccines they're rushing into clinical trials around the world, which money, 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 billions and billions. They also raised doubt. This is me talking a lot more than him, you know. They're also raising doubt about the veracity of claims of discovery of anti-novel coronavirus antibodies, which are beginning to be used to treat patients. You know, where they transfer one person's blood resistance to another. Folks, this stuff's crazy. They're called anti-novel coronavirus antibodies. Novel coronavirus-specific antibodies are supposedly the basis for expensive serology test kits, which are being used in many countries, some of which have been found to be unacceptably inaccurate. And the patent is owned by Bill Gates, so he gets royalties on everyone that sells. So they're purportedly key, antibody serum is purportedly key to the immunity certificates coveted by Bill Gates. So let me read this. It says, novel coronavirus-specific antibodies are supposedly the basis for expensive serology test kits being used in many countries, some of which have been found to be unacceptably inaccurate. And they're purportedly key to the immunity certificates coveted by Bill Gates that are about to go into widespread use in the form of a COVID pass in 15 countries, including the UK, US, and Canada. Are you ready to go get your COVID pass? Serious, folks. Stuff's coming down. A bunch of us are going to say no, and then we're going to be isolated and locked up. First time they're going to give us a little bit of a buy. First time they're going to let us get mask shamed and COVID pass shamed by our peers. Second or third time around, they're going to be locking your tail up. Eventually, you're going to get a different pass. They're going to shoot it eventually. You know, everyone's going to get a microchip. You're going to get a different one that says you won't cooperate. And as the Bible says, without the one, you can't buy or sell in the marketplace. I'm sorry. You cannot buy or sell, as improperly translated. Agorazo, Greek. You can't participate in the marketplace. That has a lot to do with why they have to do this last swipe to knock out all the small mom-and-pop shops. You got to get rid of all the little pop mom-and-pop shops. You can't participate in the marketplace. Can't go to Amazon if you don't have your mark of the beast to be scanned. Now, they got to get rid of all the small guys, little grocery stores and all that, or whatever it is. I don't know. Get rid of them all. You can't. We got to set it up to control these people everywhere they go, whatever they do. Problem we're faced with is God says, you won't take it. And you're like, what? He said I wouldn't take it before it was made, before I had the choice whether to take the mark or not. And then I wouldn't have known it was the mark if he wouldn't have told me it was the mark. And you know what I mean? It's like, eh. That was my super intelligent sound. Okay, here we go. So we got Dr. Alexov made his jaw-dropping observations in a video interview summarizing the consensus of participants. On a May 8, 2020, European Society of Pathology, ESP, it says, webinar on COVID-19. The May 13th video interview of Dr. Alexov, conducted by Dr. Stoyocho Katsarov, chair of the Center for Protection of Citizens' Rights. How about I start to read right? Okay, Dr. Stoycho Katsarov, chair of the Center for Protection of Citizens' Rights in Sofia, in a former Bulgarian and a former Bulgarian deputy minister of health. Wow, I butcher shop that one. Good, huh? The video is on the BPA's website, which must be, BPA must be Bulgarian Pathology Association. We asked a native Bulgarian speaker with a science background to orally translate the video interview into English. We then transcribed her translation. The video is here in our English. I'm reading this. Among the major bombshells Dr. Alexov dropped is that the leaders of this May 8th ESP seminar said no novel coronavirus-specific antibodies have been found. The body forms antibodies specific to pathogens it encounters. These specific antibodies are known as monoclonal antibodies and are a tool in pathology. This is done via immunohistochemistry, which involves tagging antibodies with colors and then coding. Of course, colors has to have C-O-L-O-U-R-S because it's European colors. They're prettier than ours. Just kidding. Tagging antibodies with colors and then coding the biopsy or autopsy tissue slides with them. I hope I don't have to have an autopsy biopsy. But anyway, after giving the antibodies time to bind to the pathogens they're specific for, the pathologist can look at the slides under microscope, see the specific places where the colored antibodies and therefore pathogens they're bound to where they're located. Obviously, that's simple-minded stuff that was too much. Therefore, in the absence of monoclonal antibodies to the novel coronavirus, pathologists cannot verify whether SARS-CoV-2 is present in the body, or whether the diseases and deaths attributed to it indeed were caused by the virus rather than something else. So without these antibodies, they can't verify anything. All these deaths are faked, folks. There's four different ways. Number one, to verify, test positive. That was less than 2%. And when it said less than 2%, that's as low as it went. It may have been as low as zero. Then it was symptomatic. Then it was clinically presumptive, okay? That means someone really smart made an assumption. And then the last one was epidemiological. Well, could you have been exposed? There was nothing scientific about it. Think for a minute. What if we're being put together? Just think about that. You know, the whistleblowers... I mean, this guy's going to get himself in big trouble. So it says, I mean, you could blow this guy's stuff off as just some other whack job, conspiracy guy, because many people believe they're everywhere these days, spreading dangerous misinformation about COVID-19 and other issues. But this guy is so well qualified, and he's got so much science to back him up, and he's been there for all these tests, and he's been involved. He didn't develop this habit or this mentality right out of the box. He spent a couple months, 2-3 months, I think, involved with studies until he started going, where's this virus? I'm not seeing this thing that's unique. This coronavirus we're messing with has been around forever. You know, I even remember seeing that stuff when I was, like I said, in high school. Very clearly, I had a great biology teacher, and I remember it well. So, I didn't get too far on this. Let's see what he says. Okay, for example, the director of the Institute of Forensic Medicine at the University Medical Center, Hamburg-Eppendorf in Germany, said in media interviews that there's a striking dearth of solid evidence for COVID-19's lethality. This is what some guy said. He said, quote, COVID-19 is a fatal disease only in exceptional cases, but in most cases, it's a predominantly harmless viral infection. That I would agree with. So let's see who we're reading here. We're reading director of the Institute for Forensic Medicine at the University Medical Center, Hamburg, in Germany. So that's where he said there's a striking dearth of solid evidence for COVID's lethality. In other words, there's no evidence. There's a dearth and emptiness. In his quote again, COVID-19 is a fatal disease only in exceptional cases, but in most cases, it's a predominantly harmless viral infection. Of course, he has to be politically correct. So his Dr. Krauss-Puchel said, and another, I'll quote him again and then we'll get moving out of here. He says, in quite a few cases, we have also found that the current corona infection has nothing whatsoever to do with fatal outcomes because other causes of death are always present in every case. Think of that. There's no dying from coronavirus. It's dying with it. And it's coronavirus, not COVID-19. He says, for example, cases I've seen, he's like brain hemorrhages, heart attacks. He says he's seen people with, you know, elderly people with die of heart attacks, and they're writing it down as COVID. He said he saw brain hemorrhages. People were in a car accident, had their brain hemorrhaged, and they put it down as COVID. You know, and he goes on and on. I won't do it. He says it's not particularly dangerous viral disease. In fact, he said, I've yet to see even evidence that it's been detrimental. And he's overseeing this medical center, and I was looking at, you know, they deal with like 30,000 patients at any given time. It's like Mayo Clinic, but bigger, in Hamburg. He said, all speculation about individual deaths that have not been expertly examined are only created to fuel anxiety and generate government handouts. We are out of town time, folks. You get the picture? Hey, come get yourself covered. Let's get you a good portfolio. Take care. Have a great weekend. Sorry. Bye-bye.